Morning to each one. We also greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be here. Blessing to worship together again. And I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. Hopefully my voice holds up. I've been thinking about that. You can pray for me on with that. You must be born again. Are you born again this morning? You know, it's a choice this morning if you are or not. Jesus made the provision of salvation, and the choice is ours. Are you born again? I like the illustration he gave there when he told Nicodemus, remember the children of Israel. I'm sure Nicodemus thought of that story. Probably he heard it many a times. I'm sure Jesus said, you remember your ancestors back there in the wilderness. If you go back there and study that, it was about the end of their 40 years of journey, and they were sick of the wilderness experience. They were done. They were tired of it. And I think it was, if I remember, it was they had to do a detour, and they had to go across this hot desert, and they were sick of it. And they were complaining against Moses, and they were just a grumpy bunch of people. And they were discouraged, and the times were tough, and it was rough. And Moses interceded again for his people. Well, yes, and God was angry. I forget if they disobeyed. They must have did it something, because God sent these fiery serpents. And people were getting bitten, and people were dying. And then we had Moses crying, and one of the people coming, and Moses interceding and to God. And God told Moses, you know, make that brass serpent and stick it up there. And there, if the people looked, they would be healed. And, you know, like it was mentioned, God could have just took away the snakes. But he didn't. They were there. And the people had a choice. Either they were going to look on the serpent, or they would have died. And Jesus told Nicodemus, it's the same way. It's the same way. I'm going to be there on the cross. As I am going to be lifted up the cross, you and I can look at that and come to the foot of the cross and get rid of our sins. But it's a choice. You must be born again. Anyhow, that's not my message this morning. I just enjoyed looking into that lesson again. For a message this morning, I do invite you to turn to Matthew 5. We know this is another practical teaching of Jesus. You know, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And then it's it's one of the powerful sermons that Jesus preached. It's the first one recorded here. And we could spend all day long looking at it, and probably all day, all the rest of the week, and pull truths out. But anyway, it is a powerful sermon, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. So Matthew 5, I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. And these are the 1 to 12, these are the Beatitudes. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, and that is the title of my message this morning. I'd like to take verse 3, look at it for a while. Poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's he talking about when we talk about something that is poor in spirit? What is Jesus trying to say here? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Now the word poor, that four-letter word jumped out at me. What is he saying here when it means to be poor? When I think of that word poor, I look at it as a negative of something that none of us here want to be called poor. If you get what I mean, but this morning we don't like hearing that word. If you're going to tell me that I'm poor, I'm going to take that. I'll probably take that offense. Or if I tell you that you're poor, or whatever. How do you want to say that? It's okay to be poor if you don't have much money. I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. But what does he mean when he's saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit"? What does he mean? Like to think negative on that, but he's saying blessed. He's saying blessed. And when someone is poor, and I'm talking about the physical, we're all rich this morning compared to a lot of people in the world, across the world, other side, whatever. Come America, we are so rich. So if we're going to rate among yourselves, yeah, some of us maybe have more than others, but we're all very rich and live a high standard this morning. I think we can all say that. But when we think of this word poor, we tend to look at it on a negative side of someone. We look down on someone that's poor, maybe someone that is in need. And also, when someone is poor, he is not very popular or very important. When someone is poor, and maybe they probably have to live a little lower standard than us, and it tends to look down on them. Or someone that is poor, you might have the tendency looking or saying that they are a needy person. They're very needy. They have needs in their life. Maybe they don't have enough to eat for the day, or maybe they barely have enough of clothes. It's patched, and you get the picture of a poor person. But Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor. Poor in spirit. What's he talking about? Amplified says, blessed or happy. To be envied and spiritually prosperous with life's joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think that well says it. This morning, poor. We're not talking about spiritual or physical poor, but a spiritual poorness this morning. And it's talking about our total need for God, a total need for God's help. And the word poor, you could take it as being totally broken before God. It's talking about being lowly in mind. And it's talking about being humble before God. You know, this morning, we talked about being born again. And that is so true. Jesus said, ye must be born again. There's no way around it this morning. For you to enter the kingdom of heaven. For you to be a Christian this morning. To be having that light. It needs to start with the new birth. We can't go around the new birth this morning. But this morning, if I want to choose to be
To be born again, I need to come to God in humbleness and brokenness. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. Because I am so needy. I am poor. I have nothing this morning. I need to come to the foot of the cross. And I need to lay it all there this morning. And I believe that's what Jesus is trying to say this morning. In a humbleness. With so many needs. So many in brokenness. That I can't get off the spot. Or I can't. There's nothing that I can do on my own. But I want a better life. I want something better than what I'm doing. And then I come to the foot of the cross. And I can dump it there. Because I am so needy. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. It's about being broken. It's about a brokenness. And being humbling myself. And saying, Lord, I just need thee. I need thee every hour. We just got done singing that song. That's what. Totally getting rid of self. Letting no self stand in the way. Getting rid of whatever. And that's what God wants from our lives this morning. Your brothers and sisters, that's what he wants. That's his desire this morning. He wants us to come to him in broken, totally broken. And for me to obtain this, I need to come before God in 100% brokenness before him. To be poor in spirit means we are to be totally emptied of self in order to be filled with our Lord Jesus. This morning, I need to get rid of my old desires, even though I like to hang on them. There's so many times I need to just get rid of it all. But you know how we are this morning. We like to hang on what Kevin Reif really likes to hang on to. Or you put your name there, or whatever your weaknesses are. But what Jesus is saying, we need to let go of all that. To be poor in spirit means we are truly to be emptied of self. And to be filled with our Lord Jesus. Be filled with his spirit. Live in a spirit-filled life. If we want that this morning, this is where it needs to start. It's where it needs to start. And it can be hard to do. Easier said than done. And so often this morning, we don't want to go the whole way, do we? So often, so many times, self so often stands in the way. So often, what I want and my heart desire, what I want, is standing in the way. But this morning, it requires of totally giving up everything. It's taking an inward look of our own life. And if I'm doing something as knowing my Lord is not happy with, then I need to just get rid of it this morning. I need to lay it down at the cross. And that's where it needs to be. It needs to stay there. So Jesus can take care of it. I need to get rid of that. So it requires of giving up of total of everything. That there's nothing standing between me and God. And all is clear. And all is clear. This morning we also need to get rid of the big I. The big me, myself, and I, that so often stands in the way. I know how we are. We're all human. We like to think a lot of ourselves. We like to think we are somebody. And we all like to think we are, we got life figured out. We're the macho man. No, we're not. We're not macho man. We're just, this morning what God is wanting for our lives is that we just simply humble ourselves and simply follow him. With meekly and lowliness of mind. And that's what God's desire is for you and I, everyone this morning that is sitting here. And that's his heart desire for the humans across the world. Is that we just come to the foot of the cross and just let it there. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. When I become poor, broken, repentant, then God can work wonders in our lives. You getcha? When I become poor, needy, and broken, and allow God to come into my life, God can do wonders. God can do wonders. I think so often we try to do great wonders or great things so people can notice, or we can get, or we can be recognized. Or we do things so that we can be lifted up, to get a brownie point by someone. That's very human, isn't it? We like to do these things so people notice. That's, that's who I am. Yep. But God wants this morning is coming to him in a poor, broken spirit, in a humble attitude. Then God can work in our lives. And if this is done, Jesus is saying, there's the kingdom of heaven. There it is, the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's going to take for you and I to enter heaven. This is what it's going to take for you and I to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in. But it needs to start right at this moment, that I need to become broken, poor in spirit before him. It's going to take more than just good works, doing good deeds, but a broken and a contrite spirit. Well, I got a few Bible examples that we're going to look at. I thought of the Apostle Paul. Now, you can turn to Acts 9, and Saul here, this is before he was converted, and Saul, well, we know the Apostle Paul is a man of, oh my God, after his conversion, he was just a man of God, and man, we're blessed by his writings today. Wrote so many books. But before he was converted, he was quite a man. And as the new church was starting out, as the new Christians, the church, Paul, a devout, what was he, a Pharisee, whatever, a devout, like Nicodemus probably, aggressive man. We could see a man that he was going to stop this new faith. He was going to stop the church. And he was aggressively persecuting the Christians. And I believe when Saul had a mind, he put his mind to it. And it was going at it. Now I can see that here. Acts 9 verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he had a mission here. He wanted an okay to go to Damascus. And he was going to bind these Christians up, lead them back to Jerusalem as he journeyed. So he is off. He's off on a journey. He's off in a mission. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there was a light shining around him, and a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by hand, and brought him into Damascus. And there 3 days, he was there 3 days without sight.
can neither eat or drink. We'll just stop reading there. We have Saul on his way to Damascus with a mission in mind. He had a goal set. He was going to get it accomplished. There was nothing going to stop him. I could see a man just stumping along. Had a mission in mind. He was going to get rid of these Christians. He was going to bound and bring them back to Jerusalem. As he's going along, bam, what happened? A light from heaven. He went flat to the ground. There was nothing he could do. It put him flat out. A light from heaven stopped Saul in his tracks. And he was flat on his face. And a voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, what are you doing? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you working against yourself? Don't you know what you're doing? Now I'm bringing some more words in here, but it seemed like this, what the Lord Jesus was telling him here. Where was, now he's, verse 6, he trembled and astonished and said, what happened to this aggressive man? The man that had a mission. What changed? What's going on? He became broken. There was nothing for the man to do. Poor Saul. He lost his eyesight. He couldn't see. We all know what happened to Saul, but before God could use him, he needed to become broken. Converted. Talked about that. He must be born again. So that God could use him for his kingdom and his work. We know the story. We know the story very well. Saul did become converted and baptized. You could keep on reading. Always Ananias, man of faith, stood beside him. Brought him along. It's a blessing. See, a changed man after this. A broken man. A humble man. And with that, he became a powerful man. Forgotten for his work in this kingdom. You can read down through the, you know, he was persecuting the Christians. And yet, after a few days later, he was out in the preaching Jesus. What changed? Another example I like to look at. To become broken, we need to give our life over to God. Let him come into our lives. Living the Christian life, we can so often get ourselves or become self-righteous. We do things for self-righteous. To get others think well of us. To make us look, we do things so that we look spiritual. And we know it inside it's maybe not all okay. But we do these things so, you know, we can look and appear and act and talk and that whole package that goes with that. To look spiritual. Luke 18 is another account I like to look at. These are also the words of Jesus. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that were righteous and despised others. Now, who was he talking about here? Well, he was talking about the Pharisees. That's who he was. These self-righteous people. What did Jesus say they do? Well, they trusted in themselves. They thought they were pretty good people. They thought they were living up to the law. They thought they were just doing a pretty good job. They were righteous. They were righteous and despised others. Does that sound like a humble person? Poor in spirit. Two men went up, and Jesus goes on to say this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers,
or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not much lift his eyes up into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus spake this parable unto a certain who did what? Trusted in themselves that were righteous. Must have been a problem in Jesus' day. I think it's a problem in our day as well. Such comes so close to home, to us, don't it? How did the Pharisees pray? The self-righteous man stood. He said, I thank God that I'm not like, you know, this man over here. You know, I just think of the sins that man committed. I'm pretty good. I don't did that. I even fast twice a week, and I give money in the offering, and, you know, it's just that self-righteous, self-esteeming, and it's just coming out of this man's life. The publican, standing afar off, would not even much look his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself upon the breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See the difference this morning? That's what I'm getting at. And Jesus said, which one of these men went down to his house justified, just as he had never sinned? Is that what he's saying here? I believe he is. Which one of these men were broken? Which one of the men was broken? This morning, this comes close to us home, comes close home to us, because we would never act like the Pharisee. We would never pray like the Pharisee. But how often, or how close do I come praying, or maybe even acting like the Pharisee here? Or have the attitude that I am better than you, or I would never do that. Do you mean you did that? Oh my, that something I would never do. What are we doing this morning? What attitude do I have? A better than thou attitude when we look down on someone, and when we think we're better than someone else. And we do these things, and we can do it sitting here this morning. We have a better attitude than someone else. A self-righteous attitude. We look down on others to push ourselves up. A self-righteous attitude God hates this morning. A better than thou attitude God hates. An attitude that comes close to us all. God wants from each one an attitude of the publican. Oh God, just be merciful to me, a sinner. This morning we're all made up the same. We all have desires. We all have a carnal nature within us. We're in the world. Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer. We're here. Jesus said, take the sin away so we could live faithful lives. He said, or God didn't take the sin away, but he sent his son as a deliverer for our sins so that you and I could choose whether who we're going to serve or who we're not going to serve, who we're going to deny ourselves, who we are going to submit to, and humble ourselves, and become poor. Better than now attitude God hates, that attitude that comes closest. God wants from each an attitude, I did mention that, of the publican. Which one was poor in spirit, broken before God, needy, needs God to help in them, is not perfect, but is striving for a perfect life? Just a humble attitude that, Lord, I am here. I want to serve you in some way, but I'm just going to do it in a meek and lowly, humble way. Really, it's not that difficult this morning. But God is looking for brothers and sisters this morning to, you know, just serve him in a humble way. whatever it is, but we just need to serve him. It's not about ourselves. It's not about pushing myself up and trying to think I'm better than anyone else. Those thoughts, attitudes must go. We must put off those things. But we need to throw them at the foot of the cross, lay them all down, and say, you know, Lord, I'm just simply here, ready to serve. All is clear between you and I, Lord. I just want to serve. I just want to serve.
Jesus said in verse 14, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. A proud heart, self-righteousness, when we think we're better than someone else, God hates this attitude. God hates this attitude. Another account I like to look at is Peter, a little life. Matthew 26, this was when Jesus was just come out of the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the hour of trial. It was the hour was nigh. The hour was there. And I feel like this morning I should be starting with our Lord Jesus. Because I preached this message and then I went and preached our communion sermon. And I look at the life of Jesus, how he just left that example for us to follow. Who he was. He is God and was God, like God. How he was willing to leave the glories of heaven. And we could go to Philippians 2, how he came to this earth to live as a man. Even though he was perfect, he was willing to come to this earth and give himself. And I don't know what you take from all that, but I think of it as a man that was willing to stoop himself as low as he could go. The example he left us to follow is tremendous. And here in Matthew 20, he was just in the garden. He was praying in the garden, sweating drops of blood. Luke's account says, but he was praying there in the garden. He said, Lord, please take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I believe this morning Jesus, he knew the hour was come, that he had to go through this tremendous suffering and bleeding and dying and giving himself and hanging there on the cross. And what he was going to, he knew all things. He knew what was coming. The pain and the suffering. And I think sometimes there as he was in Gethsemane, in agony, the hour was nigh. Sweating drops of blood. Praying, pouring his heart out to his heavenly Father. A man that was willing to just give himself all over and to die on the cross. He didn't have to do that this morning. He did not have to leave the glories of heaven and come down to give himself up for you and I this morning and for the sins of humanity. But he was willing to show by his life and example that he was willing to do all that and humble himself as low as he could go. In Philippians 2, he talks about it as a slave. As a servant. Let's use the word servant. Maybe that seems better. A servant. He was willing to stoop as low as our feet. But he would wash the disciples' feet. That's who our Lord Jesus was this morning. He was broken. He had a broken spirit. There was nothing about him pushing himself up. Making a name for himself. Walking around like he was someone. But now he just gave himself for us this morning. And it's a tremendous example for us to follow. As he was there in the garden, praying in agony. And then we have the mob of the soldiers, and they had a royal army coming because they were going to get this man. And
Who was the leader of all that? It was his dear friend Judas. But it's interesting. In verse 52, well, 51, they get caught, and you know, Peter, he sees what's going on. He has a pretty solid will yet, as you could see. He whips out his sword and takes off the servant's ear. He's going to fight for his Lord Jesus. He was going to fight for him. This was his friend Jesus. I think Peter probably realized there was no way for Jesus to escape. Other times he did. I don't know. But, you know, Peter was just sitting there. All of a sudden, he's an impulsive man. I'm sure all of a sudden the sword was out and the ears off. Fighting for his Lord. And I don't know what he was thinking. If Jesus would have told him, Jesus could have told him, well, yeah, go at it. Have at it. Slay these men. I'm in trouble. Well, what did Jesus say? Peter, put that sword away. Put up again thy sword in its place. They that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Peter did not understand what was truly going on. That the hour of his Lord Jesus was up. And he was willing to give himself for the sins of the world. So often we're like Peter. Things aren't working out as we plan. Things aren't going like we wish. And sometimes we think we need to get in the driver's seat and make it happen. We're going to show this and we're going to make this. We're going to pull this thing together. We get intense. And sometimes we need the words of Jesus to just calm down. Put that sword away. Quote, whatever. Put him down. And sometimes we just need to step back and take a look in here. And what can I learn from this? And just simply pray and humbly ask our Lord Jesus what I should do. And make sure there's not a standing will, there's a will standing in the way. And that I'm standing in the way. Anyway, I need to keep moving. Going back to Matthew 5. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom. Is there a reason why Jesus started with this beatitude? I don't know if you ever thought of that or not. We have here all the beatitudes, and we're called to live them out. I believe this morning for us to live them out, I need to become broken and be poor in spirit. That's where it needs to start. As I go about living my life, a totally dependent on God for my life. And when I choose to become broken before God, then I can live out the rest of the Beatitudes. This morning, that is the only way. Verse 4, then I can weep. Blessed are the mourn, for they shall be comforted. This morning, it's okay to mourn. And a sign of a broken heart when I just shed tears. Sorrow. Or when I come to the foot of the cross and decide I'm going to give my life over, it just makes tears come to my eyes in sorrow. And it's okay. It's okay to weep. Jesus said, blessed are the mourn. But so often we look at mourning as crying, weeping as not being very strong. You know, we're tough. We like to hide our emotion. If I show my emotion, then that means I'm weak. No, it's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I believe this morning, like I said, a mourn finds, it's a sign of a broken heart. Not tears of self-pity. Not tears of attention. But mourning because I'm broken.
Does that make sense?
When I'm broken this morning, verse 6, or verse 5, I become a meek person. Are you meek this morning? Controlled strength? Yeah, we can do, we can move, we can tear up, we can do a lot of things. But a meek person is having strength that is controlled. It's kind of like that big workhorse. Maybe it's just walking down the road, pulling something light. It could run wide open. Or it could do all kinds of things. But it's trained by its owner. He knows when to use its power or not. He knows if he's hooked to the plow and he's starting plowing out across or pulling the plow, then he bites in and goes. But when he's just driving down the road, maybe a young person just driving it, it's controlled strength. It's a sign of meekness. Meekness. Meek, humble before God, a mild, patiently, long-suffering. Meekness. And these are messages of their own. We could talk all morning about each one of these. I need to move on. When I'm when am I poor in spirit and broken? Verse 6. Then my appetite changes. I don't know if you found that. I tell you what, this book is interesting. My appetite for spiritual things change when I have a broken spirit. I love reading his word when I'm broken. When I know that God is going to speak to a broken heart. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are they that do that, for they shall be filled. Brokenness. A heart after God, my appetite changes. My musing interest will change. My fleshly desires will change. Just to go out, watch movies and all that trash, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to live a life of holiness. Because in here, there's a broken heart that is hungry for something. Hungering and thirst after righteousness. Heart after God will affect my appetite. Let's not feed on the things of this world and think we can digest them and still have a hunger for God. It's not going to work. Merciful, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We serve such a merciful God this morning. He's one that just pours out his mercy on us. In return, am I a merciful person? When my brother wrongs me, do I still extend mercy and forgiveness? And I feel like I've been shortchanged. Pure in heart, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. This morning, this is a standard for each one of us. Pure in heart, for they shall see God. This morning, we can't live in unpureness. This morning, the standard for holiness is a pure heart. And I know this morning we live in a corrupt world, in a world that's so unpure. But the standard is pureness. And pure is without sin and without spot. 1 Peter talks about. As we wait on the Lord's return. That's how we are to live our lives. In pureness. A broken spirit will have a pure in heart. It will be clear before God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. Do you like strife? Or are you a peacemaker? Do you like tearing up, making conflict, or do you like peace? Peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And sometimes to make peace, we just got to lay down ourselves, right? And it's so hard to do. And we got to do it again. And it seems that carnality is coming up again on this brother, but we just give in again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This morning, for you to have peace, for you to be a peacemaker, your life needs to be peace with God. This morning, if you're struggling to have peace with your brother, are you at peace with God? He is peace this morning. He is the Prince of Peace. That's where we'll find peace. Are you at peace with your life this morning? Peace with God. Verse 10. Blessed are they which persecute you for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. We don't like to be persecuted. We don't like, we get uncomfortable when we hear that word. But Jesus said, blessed, that you can live a righteous life in a persecuted time. I don't know if we know anything about that, do we? Or do we? Am I willing to stand up for my Lord Jesus? Even though if I know I'm going to face opposition from wherever, but I decide I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to follow his standard this morning. I don't care what people say around me. Verse 10. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner evil against you for my sake. What is Jesus trying to say here? This is not even normal thinking. Well, yes, Jesus said, if you're following me and living a broken, have a broken spirit and you're humble, serving, it doesn't matter what the people out here say. If you're doing what's right, if you're doing that what's right, they can say all kinds of things about you. It really doesn't matter if you're doing what's right. Actually, verse 12, it says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We're to rejoice when people falsely accuse us. We're to rejoice when they say some evil about us. It's okay. It's okay. For our reward's in heaven. And so often we forget about the reward that's in heaven. We're so focused on the now. But this morning we've got to realize that I'm living a life for my Lord Jesus. Because someday I'll get a reward for all this faithful. And that's what we need to keep our focus on this morning. And so this morning, I need to bring this to a close. This is why we live a life for God. Is in a humble, broken spirit. Living a life of humbleness. Serving God, living a life for Him. Because rejoice, our reward is in heaven. I trust that you've been inspired by that. It's been a challenge for my own life. I just want to. It's what God is asking for us this morning, is to live lives in humbleness. Let's pray.